You who are visitors, we want you to know that you are welcome. And we'd love to have you come back and be with us at every opportunity that you have. It's always a joy to get to meet other people, especially those who are interested in the Bible, in God, and what He would have us to do. Our sole desire here is to please God and to help one another to reach heaven's gate. I hope that your purpose for coming tonight is to worship God as we study from His Word and sing songs of praise and approach His throne in prayer. It is a service that is meant to worship God and glorify Him, not for entertainment. And so we hope that the things that we study together tonight will be beneficial to you and help us in our serving in God's family. In the book of Hebrews, it was read to us a few moments ago from the 11th chapter in the first six verses. Preceding that, we began reading in verse 37 of chapter 10, "For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But if we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul." It is important for us to learn then what this saving faith is. He defines it for us. He illustrates it for us in this following chapter, in chapter 11. It's important that we learn about this saving faith because it is that which will help us to be pleasing in the sight of God and to receive our reward. Faith is defined here in the first verse as that faith is a substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Substance here means it is the ground of things hoped for. It is the evidence. That means assurance. We have assurance. Our faith gives us that assurance of those things that we may have not seen, but are so because of the Word of God. And so faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things seen. So saving faith, if we would put it in another term, is to say it is the ground for which we hope for things. It's the assurance of things that we've not seen. Heaven, God, Christ, those things we've not seen. But by our faith, we have that assurance that they exist, and we believe it. And it gives us the hope to continue on. For us to have the faith that is to the saving of our souls, there are three things that are involved, three elements. In the sixth verse, we read in Hebrews 11, "But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." So what we see mentioned in this verse is, first of all, one must believe that God is. To have a saving faith, you must believe that he exists, that there is a God, a one supreme being over all things. And so to have a saving faith, we've got to believe he's there. If we don't believe in his existence, there's no need to have faith in him. And so the basis of this faith is to believe, first of all, that God is, that God exists. Secondly, this verse says, we must believe that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. If we're going to seek God, he promises that there are rewards that will be given to those who seek after him, who follow after him, and who obey him. And so we must have the belief that he will reward those who are faithful to him, that he will carry out his word. And thirdly, there must be a willingness to come to him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Three fundamental elements essential to have a saving faith. And defines those three things that are important for us to follow. God and His Word teaches in a way that if man will concentrate a little bit, he will see what He's talking about in various passages. After defining faith to us in this first verse, for the next several verses, the Lord, through the writing of this author, illustrates what He's talking about. He illustrates the characteristics or the traits of those who have a saving faith. First of all, he must believe in the creation, that God created all things. He says in verse 3 of chapter 11, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. We must believe that out of nothing came something. We must believe that out of nothing God created everything. And He spoke it into being. We must believe that all that exists was created. This, therefore, rejects the evolutionist theory that things just happened by accident, that they evolved over millions and millions and billions of years. To the evolutionist, years, millions and billions of years, that's their God, time. And that cannot be counted on. That is something that is speculated. That is something that cannot be proven. Here we have a God who created all things. And the description is given in Genesis, the first chapter. And that creation took place in 6 24-hour days. That God spoke the things into being. Now, if you're going to have a saving faith, that's got to be a part of your faith. You've got to believe that God created all things, and reject the theory of evolution that time made everything as it is. We wouldn't believe that in any other example that we could find. We wouldn't believe that a watch is the result of an explosion in a watch factory. We wouldn't believe things of that nature. We understand there has to be designers and those who would put it together, those who would make it. And so it is with God, the great designer, the great maker. Secondly, we find that a saving faith is illustrated by the fact that we must sacrifice acceptably. Sacrifice unto God those things that He has required. Verse 4 deals with the sacrifice of Abel. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, that by it he being dead, yet speaketh. And so we see then that sacrifice is important. Abel offered an acceptable sacrifice by faith. The Scripture said it was by faith. The Roman letter tells us that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. If Abel offered an acceptable sacrifice, he had to hear from God what would be an acceptable sacrifice. And therefore, he offered by faith that which God told him to offer. Cain did not. Therefore, God accepted Abel's sacrifice. And we too must make sure that our sacrifices are those things that will be acceptable unto God. The Roman letter tells us in chapter 12 and in the first two verses that we must sacrifice ourselves to be pleasing unto God. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so sacrifice becomes an important part of our relationship to God. It becomes a very important part of a saving faith. Our faith that will save our souls, we must be willing to sacrifice. Christ sacrificed His life for us. We find plenty of New Testament Christians that sacrificed their lives because of their faith in Christ. Sacrifice is a part of acceptable actions, that faith that's pleasing in God's sight. Also, one who has a saving faith, is one who walks with God. In the fifth verse of this 11th chapter, where Enoch is mentioned. And he says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. When we talk about walking with God, Enoch, Genesis 5 and verse 22 said, he walked with God. In other words, he was in agreement with God. To walk with God suggests fellowship. It suggests communion with God. It suggests an agreement. In Amos 3 and verse 3, he says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Here is an element of this saving faith, is that if we walk with God, we agree with God. We are in agreement with what He says and what He teaches and what He would have us to do and to be. And therefore, we don't question His commands or His word or His will. Because we walk with God, because we are in agreement with God, we do not change and we do not deviate from whatever God has told us to do. And so, saving faith is illustrated through walking with God and Enoch, who was pleasing in God's sight. Another trait is one who heeds God's warnings. In the 7th verse, Noah is mentioned. It is said that by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is by faith. He heeded God's warnings. Noah built an ark, being warned of God. Here is a man who God tells is going to destroy the world by flood, and that he needed to build this huge ark to be able to take care of the animals that God would decree that we should go into the ark and be preserved. And that he was going to destroy all living things on the face of the earth except those who were in the ark. Noah, his wife, his three sons and their wives, and the animals that went in two by two. He heeded God's warning. He built the ark that God commanded him to build according to the instructions that God had given him. And because of that, he was saved from death and the great flood that God caused to come upon the earth. God also gives us warnings today. In 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter, this warning is given beginning with verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Here is an example of heeding God's warning, of being willing to do what God would have us to do. He warns us that we better obey the gospel and that we better come to know God and be involved in our relationship with Him and to understand that that is important if we're to have the faith that brings about our salvation. Saving faith is also illustrated by Abraham and that he obeyed God's call. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. Abraham was willing to obey God's call, to go into a land that he was shown. Abraham didn't know where it was, but he had faith in God. He had faith enough to obey what God told him to do. And so he obeyed God's call. He obeyed God's call to leave his homeland, where all of his family had been and where he had been raised and all of that, to go to a land that would be far away that he would show him. We too must obey God's call today. The call, of course, that we must all obey is the gospel call. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are called by the good news of Jesus Christ, that he came to this earth to sacrifice himself for our sins. And that is what he did. And therefore, just as Abraham obeyed God's call, we too must be one who is willing to obey the gospel call. In 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 2, he says that we're called to be saints. That is, we are called to be sanctified, to be set apart, to be special in God's family. And so we need to realize that we can't be like everybody else in the world, that we can't live or work or worship like everybody else does. We have to do it the way God instructs us, because we are called to be saints, and we're called to be set apart as a result of that. It is important that we answer that call. The New Testament calls us the call several times because we are saints and because we are the gospel call that has been answered by our rendering obedience to God's plan of salvation. Another illustration of faith, that is to the saving of the soul, is found in verse 11. It is the trait of one who is willing to trust in God. Though Sarah, through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. At first, she did not really believe it. Remember that she laughed, and the visitors said she did laugh. But later this verse tells us that she trusted in God. She trusted in God to conceive. She trusted in God to bear the son that God had promised. And so when she doubted at first, she became one who trusted that she would be able to do the Lord's will. We must trust God's promises. God promises eternal life. Have you ever seen anything or anyone that lived forever? No. And yet God has promised eternal life to those who obey him, to those who answer the gospel call, to those who are faithful unto death. Here is something that God promises, and we must trust God that he can keep that promise to give us eternal life. He has promised that he will provide a way of escape when we're tempted. If we're wanting to get out of that sin, we got to look for that. We got to want to get out of the sin. But he says he will provide a way whereby we can escape the temptation that will be before us. We need to trust in God that he will do that. We need to trust that God's promise to hear our prayers will be kept. That when we open our hearts to him in prayer, that he is listening, that he pays attention, that it's important to him what we are pleading for, what we're offering thanks for, whatever may be the petition in our prayers. If we trust that God hears us, strength and encouragement will come to us in our life. God has promised to hear our prayers. All that God has promised, the wonderful blessings, to provide for our physical needs if we're faithful to him, all of these things are there. Do you trust God to keep these promises that he has made? A saving faith trusts in God. A saving faith that's illustrated also is one who endures tests. Verse 17 speaks of Abraham. When he was tried, he offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. We are familiar with the test that God gave Abraham to take Isaac out and to offer him as a burnt offering unto God. And he was willing to do so and took him to the mount, made the altar and put Isaac up on the altar and drove back the knife ready to kill him and offer him when God stopped him. But he was one who endured the test. Abraham's faith passed God's test, for he said, "Now I know." God said, "Now I know." He knew of the faith in Abraham, that he believed in him above all other things in his life. You and I are going to run into tests. We're going to run into trials. as we walk this life's pathway. There are going to be temptations. There's going to be pain. There's going to be hardships, disappointments, a lot of things that may come into our life that will test us and try us as to whether we'll keep our faith. I've seen people who had hardships come into their life and blame God. I don't know why God is doing this to me. I don't know why God did this or whatever it may be. And therefore, they are not enduring the tests and the trials. They are failing them. Some will overcome these tests and trials, but others will fail and deny the faith and be lost. A faith that saves the soul is one that is willing to endure the tests, whatever they were, whatever they may be, as life continues on this earth. And finally, a saving faith is one that chooses wisely. In the 24th and 25th verse of this 11th chapter, we're told that by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He made the wise choice. He chose wisely. He could have had riches. He could have had many sinful things in the palace of Pharaoh. But he turned away from those things in the house of Pharaoh and turned to be identified with his people and eventually to lead the people of God. Here was one who made wise choices, and it was by faith. Many today would think Moses was foolish to give up living in the palace of Pharaoh and being known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And yet, he did. He refused those things and became one who would wander, one who would leave us separate from his family for years, and then would wander through the wilderness leading God's people until finally they were able to come to the edge of the promised land. Moses was not able to go in, but that next generation led by Joshua and Caleb were able to go in into that promised land. Wise choices are an important part of saving faith. This is the kind of faith that leads to heaven. We need to choose God's way, not choosing man's way. Saving faith, this 11th chapter tells us, involves belief in creation. It believes a willingness to sacrifice. We must walk with God, be in agreement with Him. We must heed God's warnings. We must be willing to obey God's call and whatever He calls us that we should be doing. We must be willing to have a faith that trusts in God and His promises and what He says He will and will not do. We must also endure the tests and trials when they come into our life, keeping our faith in Him. And we must make wise choices, choices that are built upon the instructions and that which is found in the pages of God's Word. Saving faith, God illustrates it by different characters in the Bible that we read about, how they exemplify the kind of faith and the characteristics that were there, that were needed in order to be pleasing unto God. Many have exemplified this saving faith. Look in the beginning with verse 32 of this 11th chapter as he talks about those who had this saving faith. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak, Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the enemies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had a trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and in goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in the deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all of these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive that promise. God, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us, that they, God provided a way where they too would be able to enjoy the blessings of being faithful unto Him. You know, if we lack these traits in our faith, we lack the faith that comes to the saving of our souls. To save your soul, God says, you must be of the just. You must be justified. That comes about by rendering obedience to God's plan of justification, of redemption, of salvation. And if you submit to that, then you can, it leads to the saving of your souls. You can be of the just. You need to live by faith. Live by the things that God tells you you must do. Even when you can't see and hadn't seen the things that He tells you that existed or have existed or that will happen, trust in those things. Live by faith. Have a working and obedient faith, as did those champions that we read about earlier. Our faith must be active. It must be an obedient faith. And when we do that, we will be pleasing in the sight of our Lord Jesus Christ. Heaven can be your eternal home if you have this faith that is defined in Hebrews, the 11th chapter. A faith that is to the saving of your soul. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you're willing to repent of your sins, turn from them, confess your faith before others that